at you all this evening. In the name of Jesus, thank you for the invite. Of course, you can hear that last night about this time I was about to cancel my time here, but this morning I woke up feeling pretty considerably better, so bear with me. Hopefully my voice holds out till we're done. Thank you for praying for the Neuswanger family. You know, church is such a precious thing. Community is such a precious thing. We sat there at the viewing, my dad's viewing, and over 1,800 people walked in there to see, just to pay their tribute. But we are relational people. And that's why community is so important in our life. But the only way we get anything out of community is when we put things into community, right? It's a two-way street. This evening, and I want to invite y'all to Sunshine whenever you get a desire for our little community's called Sunshine, and that is because most of the time Sunshine's there. But it's kind of rare here these last days, but it'll be back. So they asked me to talk about brotherhood assistance, and I don't have all the answers, but I have some ideas here. I have some scriptures we're going to look at, and then I have some numbers we're going to look at. I was assigned at Living Hope conference to make a round and talk to Brotherhood. They picked a few of us to go out and do that. So this is notes I had rebrought back from that. So if you want to open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6, and I think one of the things that we come to grips with when we talked about brotherhood assistance was that we want to keep our brotherhood assistance focused on free will. On free will and a spirit-centered giving rather than a tax type thing. Something that comes from the heart, that gets us involved with community, gets us involved with church. And if we look at Galatians 6, and I'll start reading verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. He's talking about in the spirit here. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. This is somewhat a... We might go in here and say this somewhat contradicts each other, but in reality it doesn't. I believe in the physical, the financial, and in the spiritual world, they all apply pretty much the same. We're all responsible for the strong to help the weak, the rich to help the poor, and the spiritual needy by help be helped by his brother. That's what he's trying to tell us here. In verse 1, he's telling us we are all subject to trouble. In verse 2, he's telling us, bear ye one another's burdens, and so he's saying the law of Christ is, the law of love of God of Christ is, that we help each other. So in verse 3, he's talking about here, we just can't ever get this idea that this brother over here, he has all the problems and I don't. Or that he's always in, or I'm always in need. And I've heard this people say, well, you know, it seems like I'm always the needy one. I'm always the one that's receiving. But trust me, sooner or later, we need each other. No matter how good it's going today, tomorrow it may be different. I don't know what Ernest's situation is, but I'm sure that changed quickly. And then in verse 5, he seems to contradict what he's saying here. He says, for let every man bear his own burden. But I believe what Paul is trying to tell us here is that we are to do for ourselves all that we can. Everything that I can do, all the burden that I have, all the spiritual, financial, physical burdens that I have, I'm required of myself to take care of what I can. And then when we get to the point where we can't take care of our own burdens, then we call for the church, we call for the community, we call for and we want to, this is the law of Christ, that you help one another. First of all, take care of yourself, help everyone else that's in need. Let's go over to James, a couple verses here in James that I'd like to look at. James 2, starting in verse 18, or verse 8, I'm sorry. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty in all. For he that hath said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty, for he shall have judgment without mercy that hath shewed no mercy, and mercy rejoices against judgment. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or a sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warm and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which ye have needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, I have works. Shew me thy faith without thy works, and I will shew thee my faith by my works. The definition of salvation is to deliver from harm, to deliver from ruin, and to deliver from loss. And I believe that our God has in his plan that I and you are part of that salvation plan, financially, physically, and spiritually, from my brother. You and I are part of the plan to bring our brotherhood to Christ. He's saying faith without action is dead. But what I want us to really grasp tonight somehow is that you and I are a vital part of this brotherhood idea. If you look at a verse here, two verses in Job 42, and I guess this could be, in my mind, the central focus point of the message tonight. Job 42, verse 10, "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before." And we all know the story of Job and all the... But it says here, real adamantly, "The Lord turned the captivity of Job." In other words, the captivity of what he had was he was grappling with who God was, where God was. You know the whole story. And it said, "The Lord turned that captivity when Job started doing what? When he prayed for his friends. When he got concerned for his friends. When he did what he could for his friends. When he became the salvation that could bring his friends redemption." And that is what God still does today. The Lord turns my captivity, my problems, when I can start praying for my friends, praying for my community, praying for, and in a sense here, the word praying that he's talking about is much bigger than just praying. It's what we're talking about, brotherhood assistance tonight, where we can help each other. And if we go on down to verse 11, and it says, and they came and they ate with him. They bemoaned him, they comforted him, they gave him money, they gave him gold. And the moral here still is that it all happened when Job turned away from himself to the brotherhood, or to his friends, or to his community. I want to be careful we don't get carried away on that subject too far. But finally, somehow, I need to be crucified on the cross just like Christ. It's not about me at all. It's about brotherhood, community, and Christianity. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. A couple verses in 2 Corinthians I'd like to look at. Second Corinthians 8, starting at verse 7. "Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge, and in all diligence and all love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, and ye through his poverty might be made rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be a will, if there be first a willing mind, it is acceptable according to that a man hath, and not according to what he hath not." For I mean not that other men should be eased and ye burdened, for by an equality, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, and their abundance may be a supply for your want, that there be an equality. As it is written, he that hath gathered much and hath nothing, he that hath gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. Thought I'd like to gather out of here. There's a false doctrine out here. There's a false teaching. You'll find it around your communities, around the world, that the more you give, the more you will receive. It's called the get rich gospel, right? Give and you will receive. But the true gospel is those that have much are responsible to give much. But I'm comfortable saying that when we give and we give and we give, God will bless us and we will receive. But there's no promise anywhere in the Bible that there's a get rich gospel, that you can give so much that you'll eventually get rich because you gave so much. It's not true. But God will give us a lot of peace in our heart when we give and we give and we give. But it is true, and we go to verse 15, as it is written, he that hath gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had nothing lack. Paul is plainly telling us here, if you've gathered much, you had much, you've been blessed by much, then much is expected from you. Let's go to Peter. One verse in Peter I'd like to look at. 1 Peter 4:16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Glorify God because you're a Christian, not because of the money situation. I'm getting a little more practical points. So on an average, I did some research. This is all numbers from a year ago, so they may be slightly different, but fairly current. On an average, general Christians give to the offering at church 2.5%. We know that New Testament law doesn't make any laws how much we give. We know that the old law was 10% the tithe. Today, we're reading that the law is that we give according to what we have, according to our abilities. But I was appalled when I looked this up and I found that general Christianity gives 2.5%. There's other places, there's other ways. This doesn't measure charities. This doesn't matter. It measures givings. There's many more ways that we offer brotherhood assistance. It's not just in the offering plate. It's many, many, many different ways that we contribute to community. Many different ways we contribute to church. So what I'm saying is community service is a form of giving. Let's go to Luke, a couple verses, New Testament verses that Luke chapter 6. Luke verse 30. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. This is what we call unconditional giving. Ask them, give them, don't ask again for them back again. Verse 35. But love your enemies and do good, and to lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. I thought this was kind of profound. He says, but love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And then he says, pretty much the same we were talking about in Job, and your reward shall be great. Not necessarily here in this earth, but the next part says, in the Highest. Verse 38, given it shall be given unto you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. So my question today is, what is the measure that we're meeting out? The other question that I had to ask myself at this point was, I believe most of us have much. And I believe we can have much. And I believe it's okay to have much. But who does it belong to? Who do we give credit for? Where did it come from? If I worked for it, and it's mine, and I deserve it, we have it with the wrong attitude. I'm not saying that we don't, as Mennonite people, we have too much stuff. I'm saying we need to be careful with what attitude we have. Because when we look at Job's life, in the end, he had much more than he ever needed, much more than he had before. But it was because he was involved in serving, giving to his community, to his friends, and he was blessed in return. But I don't think he ever took credit for doing it himself. So we have some other questions that we need to render, I guess, in the Living Hope Conference. We're still trying to work some of this out, so I guess you have it all, probably have it all figured out. But we have health care. Speaking from a deacon's point of view and a congregational point of view, we have health care to reckon with. We have homeowners, residential insurances, sharing plans or whatever. And we have businesses. We have farms. We have automobiles. And it's no secret. It's a burden to us to figure out sometimes how to handle some of these things. But I'm going to touch on some of those. We've been suggesting in our conference that we use for farms, businesses, and so forth, for business like uses, we would use conservative Amish mutual aid. Which is a sharing plan. And I think in reality sharing plans are acceptable, and some people have the wherewithal to do a sharing plan within their own conference. And I think by far that would be the best. But in reality, our little conference, we don't feel like we can handle that. So we've been looking at joining some of this CAM sharing plan, and I think it's a legal sharing plan. And for your residential, I don't know how you all handle that. I'm thinking a lot of our people have gone to the sharing plan. One of the things I would like to emphasize is that it doesn't matter how we as a church use and do these things. Somehow, within the brotherhood, we need something to draw brotherhood together. Obligations that we have right here in our congregation that tax our system will draw us closer together. So in our conference, we have decided that we were going to focus on keeping health and medical assistance very much like we've always had. So if you're running short of money, where should we cut? Who gets cut first? I don't want everybody to answer that question, but who normally gets cut first? Church. I hope not, but there's a tendency for us, when we start running short, we cut church. From the time I got involved in Pilgrim Conference 15 years ago, we have always run short. Every quarter, I believe, except one or two, if I did the research right, of our brotherhood collections, brotherhood assistance. We posted a number, but at the end of the quarter, we were always short. If we're going to have these systems, we're going to need to buy them. We're going to have a part in them. So I did some numbers here, and we're going to go over some numbers here quickly. If I can get my numbers all together, what I have here. So I believe in the past, our quarterly numbers haven't been terrible high. They've been, I took an example here. In Living Hope Conference, we have 347 members. If we had $500 per member per quarter, and four quarters, we come up to $694,000 a year. In the past 15 years, we have very, very, very seldom asked for more than $500 a quarter. I think our brotherhood sharing plans are doable, and I think we need to put effort into making them work. Because we don't have anything else good out there. Or anything better, for sure. And I'm going to do some examples here. Obamacare. I'm sure you think everybody thinks Obamacare just went asleep again. It's still out there. But it never took traction. It never went anywhere because Obamacare has a $10,000 deductible. So, basically, a $10,000 deductible is not helping any poor folks in our congregation. And there's health care sharing plans. They come with a lot of paperwork and they come a lot of work, and they're doable. One of the things I want to think about right now for a minute before we go into more numbers. All health care plans, whether they're cost sharing, whether they're church funded, whether they're commercial insurance, they all have limits. Our medical society today has the ability to keep people alive, basically, until the money runs out. One of the things I want to remind us that we need to be, if we're going to run our own health care plan, sharing plan, Brotherhood Assistance, then we need to be realistic. As the rest of the insurance world works on realistic numbers, there is a limit to where we can go with this. I mean, I know sometimes it's difficult for us to finally say, well, you know, I have two examples written here. You know, what do you do with an 80-year-old man that has cancer? I know it's a difficult question. It's a difficult thing to deal with. And the answer is never the same for each person, I believe. But if we're going to, Brotherhood Sharing is going to take care of those kind of things, then we have to become realistic. What should be done? You know, Michael and Crystal had premature 3-pound babies in El Paso at the hospital for 3-4 whatever months. Today they're 6-plus years old. Is it worth it? Absolutely. But what I'm saying is somehow we have to realize that we have to be realistic with our healthcare plans. Here's a health care plan. Commercial health care plans, Aetna Insurance Company, family plan with 4 children, $701 a month, $8,412 per year. $25 to $50 copays, no dental, no vision. Does that make I don't know what we talked about here earlier. What does that make? It makes our $500 a month look pretty cheap. Christian healthcare sharing plan. Personal plan. This is for one person. Personal plan. $159 a month, 12 months a year, $1,908. $500 deductible per claim. So that means you pay the first $500 on major claims. The maximum that you pay ever is $2,000 a year. That's personal. So after the first 4 deductibles, then after that they pay 100%. So on that health care plan, Christian health care plan, the minimum is, if you have no claims for the year, is $1,800. And the maximum is almost $4,000 a year. So if you have any claims, you're soon going to be at $4,000 a year. Does our Brotherhood Assistance sound cheap? Absolutely. Another insurance plan I looked at, a family of 6. Cost is $19,000 a year. For an insurance policy, and you pay the first $2,000. We do not want to lose our Brotherhood Assistance. For 2 reasons. Number one, it's important for our brotherhood relationships. And number 2, it's the most economical thing we have out there. look at a couple Social Security numbers. And I suppose some of you are 4029 exempt. And if you have not read the book, Gary Miller, Going Till You're Gone, it would be ideal to do that. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. Example of Social Security withholdings. If you have a $50,000 income, which is pretty modest anymore, over a 45-year period, 12.4%, you pay, employer and pays, comes to $279,000 for your withholding for Social Security in a lifetime of 45 years. Social Security is not, it's not necessarily a health care plan. It's a withdrawal plan to help you support yourself when you're in old age. So in reality, we still need brotherhood assistance, even if we have, if we were paying into Social Security to support us later, we still need brotherhood assistance to help us, or either have an insurance plan. So I'm suggesting that in reality, most of us can do a better job of investing than Social Security and our government can. We have some people anymore that are in work settings where they can't get Social Security exempt, and that's perfectly okay. We're going to have to deal with that. But let's not mix the two together. They're two different systems. One's about funds for later. So if you're going to be Social Security exempt, let's make sure we do investments or something that once we're 65 years old or 70 years old and we're out of money, right? Because we haven't paid into Social Security, so we're not getting any there. We haven't invested wise over here, so we have nothing there. Then we come back to the church. And that's okay. We're here as a brotherhood, right? But what I'm saying is let's be accountable stewards of what we have. And I'll just put a plug in for the word retirement right now, which is what I'm dealing with. And I don't think retirement is a time when we should be able to sit back and do nothing. I think we need to keep on doing something, either working, something. The American dream of sitting back and retiring at 65 and doing nothing is foolishness. Gary Miller says, and I say it, we need to be. And I just sold the tire business and went into, I call it the retire business, but I'm busier than I ever was before, or as busy as I ever was before. Finally, there's lots of outreach work. There's a lot of, you got a church, I don't know how big here, you could, you can bring lots of them in here. But at any rate, I think it's a perfect opportunity for us when we're not as obligated to physical work to get some outreach work done. Maybe that we should have done long already, but I'm not saying that we shouldn't before, but I'm saying that we maybe should put a little extra effort into doing some. Should be a time of refocus. There's ministry to do. There's elderly to help. One of the things I want to touch on briefly yet, How many extras should Christians have? Extras. How many extras are okay? Is it mandatory to have a pile left over at the end of life for the grandchildren? How many guns do we really need? How many hunting trips do we really need to go on? I'm not saying that we don't do any of this. I'm just saying, how many? The question I have is, how many sightseeing trips? How many boats? How many jeeps? How many four-wheelers? How much self-expression? Fads, fashions, gadgets, latest phone. These are things that challenge the offering plate on our brotherhood assistance. They do. They are directly challenging our offering plates. And if we take a brotherhood offering and for every quarter of the last 15 years we come up short, somewhere there's something wrong. I don't want to say that we don't have these things. I'm saying, how many do we need? How many is it proper for a Christian to have? I think the Bible plainly teaches us, take care of your own needs, help your brother. In other words, what I'm saying, I think a lot of us could take up money out of our lifestyles and could go into the brotherhood assistance, could go into the mission work, could go into. I want to talk just a minute about spent 15 years in the Cumberland Valley Proctor Medical Clinic as general administrator and pricing coordinator. And I want us just a brief situation here to help us understand a little bit about the medical world pricing. I mean, it's a lot bigger than I can explain tonight. But if we have a typical $100,000 bill, for example, and buying general insurance plans are 20% deductible. So insurance plan holder pays the first $20,000 here, and the insurance company pays $10,000, and they settle the bill for $30,000. That's a typical $100,000 medical bill in the general public. Settlement happens at $30,000. Insurance policy holder pays $20,000. The insurance company pays $10,000, and the hospital's satisfied. When we as deacons go into a lot of these situations, you get this bill and $100,000, we don't know how we're going to ever deal with it. And a lot of times when you call in as a deacon or go in, they're going to offer you a 50% discount. Or you call in and say, well, yeah, we'll give you a 50% discount. But in reality, on a $100,000 bill, insurance companies settle for $30,000. And my question has always been, well, then why shouldn't we be able to settle for 30? And they said, you can't. And WellSpan here has done a wonderful job. I guess it's still what it was, but it'll continue to be a challenge because I know WellSpan. But typically, in what I'm trying to help you understand is, typically in a $100,000 bill, the reason the hospitals bill this at $100,000 is so that they can end up with $30,000. And the reason that happens is because the insurance companies encourage them to do that because of the 20% deductible in a lot of the insurance policies. So that the insurance policy holder pays the biggest share and the insurance company pays a little share and they settle at $30,000. Brotherhood assistance is a real deal. We need to keep it. The Deming Hospital . So we were in New Mexico for a while, and I thought I was finished with that job. But finally, the Deming Hospital wants me to come in there 10 days after we have a person visit there, and they want to settle. And they typically want to settle at 20% or less in 10 days, at less than $20,000 on a $100,000 bill. Our hospital in Las Cruces has been very good. Just get your bills, come over to see me, and we'll settle for 80% discount. I just encourage your deacons and people, just keep working on it. It's going to be a continuous challenge. But this is why, somehow if you can understand, this is why it happens. It's not against the Christian people. It's not against the Brotherhood Assistance Plan. It's insurance companies have elevated this number in order to get them out of paying the bigger part of the bill. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my peace upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek, lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest for your soul." And I found this writing here. This was written in A.D. 312. A letter to Constantine. He says, "What else is the preservation of humanity other than to love a man because he is a man, because he is the same as we are? If it is contrary to nature to injure a man, it must be in harmony with nature to help a man. And he who does not help another deprives himself of title of man." I'm going to go back one more time to this verse here in Job. "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends, when he cared for his friends, when he showed compassion for his friends." There was a phrase in here I wanted to read, and I forgot about it. In the Beautiful Life song, we sang this: "And strive to help some troubled soul. That's our goal here in life, that somehow there's a lot of ways to do it, but finally, I'm concerned that we use our brotherhood assistance programs to draw us closer together, to help those that have much, to help those that have little. God bless.